curious to look between them, and as I spot the tide of wind headed their way, the first man decided to use the time remaining on wine, women, and song. The second man chose to get down on his knees and pray. And the third man, I'm sure he was an American businessman, got busy trying to figure out how to breathe underwater. As we look ahead to the industrial world of the field, as we look ahead to the industrial world of the future at this White House conference, it is well to remember that there is something to be said for enjoying life, that the power of prayer is important, but that as we face the future, we must also get ready to live it. In the course of this conference, you will be exploring the exciting prospects that lie ahead for the working man and the businessman of America. You will be examining the new social responsibilities of business, the challenges of the new technology so vital to the betterment of the lives of our people and to the future of our economy. There has never been a time when a hard-searching look ahead has been more essential. We cannot really plan for the industrial world ahead without considering the total picture of the world of the future. We have to ask ourselves which way the world is heading, what we as a nation must do to influence the course of history toward more freedom and toward a generation of peace, and what kind of people we will have to be to make a difference in our children's lives and in the world tomorrow. These are profound questions, and the kind that all too many people consider themselves too busy to deal with. The American dream is too important to be left to the dreamers. Practical men have to examine their ideals and shape the future to the image of their hopes. The people of the United States of America make up 6% of the population of the world. What does that figure mean? Well, first, it means that we have a great deal to be proud of. When 6% of the people of the world produce 1/5 of the world's steel, 1/3 of all its electric power, 1/3 of all automobiles, then even our most severe critics will have to admit that the American economic system must be doing something right. The fact that we number only 6 out of every 100 people in the world means something else that must give us pause. It means that we, who believe in majority rule, are a minority group in the world. If we are to lead, we cannot lead by force of arms or by weight of our numbers. We can lead only by the force of our example and the quality of our vision. What is it that has brought this 6%, this minority of the world that calls itself American, with the highest standard of living and the highest expression of human freedom? What is it that will propel this nation forward in the coming generation, to lead mankind in its search for a better life and a world of peace? I am convinced that the answer lies in a real but intangible quality called the American spirit. In today's world, that spirit is being tested. America is being tested. Got to learn once again to compete in the world. And the only way we can compete is on the basis of our own productivity. In the past, America has been able to pay the highest wages in the world, to enjoy the highest standard of living in the world, and still compete in the world's markets because we have the best technology and the highest productivity. But while other nations have been modernized, while others have been spurting ahead in productivity, in America, our productivity has lagged. We have neglected capital investment. We have fallen behind other nations in the attention and support we give to applied science and to advances in technology. We can be proud of our record of generosity and farsightedness. We can be proud of our record of generosity in the years since World War II. Friends, as well as old friends, have gotten back on their feet, and new nations have been started on the long road to prosperity. This hope has been good for other nations, good for the world, and in the long run, good for America. In the decade of the 60s, exports of American manufactured goods increased. During the same period, exports of German manufactured goods rose by 200%. Canada's increased by 285%. Japan, now the second greatest producer in the non-communist world, increased her exports of manufactured goods by 400%. This is one measure of the competition we face. and one reason why last year America suffered its first trade deficit since 1888. Nations never stand still. They go forward or they fall back. Other nations in the world today are going forward, rapidly forward. And America has to exert itself. We have to be at our best. Or if we are to remain competitive in this world, in business and in life, there is a time when tough decisions have been made. This administration, we've made some tough decisions in order to help get the economy back on its feet, the transition to war and peace, on a stable basis for 4 months and moving forward in a sustainable way. I believe in economic freedom. I believe the best economy for America is a free market economy. But faced with the choice of wage and price controls or continued inflation, I chose temporary controls to curb inflation. I believe in balanced budgets. But faced with the choice between budget deficits and unemployment, I chose deficits to create more jobs. In the long run, our goal is to remove the controls and get rid of the deficits once we have brought about price stability and full employment. In the short run, there's going to be a lot of complaining. I'm prepared to take the heat because I believe that I have put first thing. And full employment without inflation and a period of peace comes first for America. Now you, the leaders of American industry, are going to have to make some hard decisions. Are you going to fall into a shell of demand production, protection, and world competition? Or are you going to roll up your sleeves and increase productivity? Are you going to expend your energies complaining about controls? Or are you going to adopt wage and price policies that will remove the pressure of inflation and the need for controls? I am convinced that I made the right decision. And I am convinced you will make the right decisions as well. Right for yourself, right for our country. There's still some people around who are uncertain about whether we can really cut the rate of inflation. There are two answers to those doubts. First, there is the record of what has been done so far. Consumer prices rose 3 4/10% in 71, compared with 5 5/10 the year before. This is the right direction for inflation down. That shows that it can be done. And second, this administration is determined to keep pushing down the rate of inflation. We have made a commitment. We approve the lengths we are prepared to go to keep our commitments. And we shall see this fight against rising prices through stability. Just as controls bring to work to stop inflation, our policies to create more jobs to bring to work. You all know that in the past 6 months, civilian employment has increased by over 1 million jobs. Yet that surge has not made nearly enough to dent the unemployment figure. Real output rose at a rate double that of the preceding 2 quarters. That's a basis for real confidence, the confidence that should generate further expansion in more jobs. Nobody says the road to full employment is quick and easy, but we are on that road. When we ask what it is that enables each worker to get more out of his work, the technological cornucopia that promised increasing abundance every year without any extra effort on our part, and this made us complacent. We tended to imagine that more was our due, whether we did anything for it or not. Now the new situation in the world has changed all. Even if we were content just to fight with one another for a bigger slice of the same old pie instead of making the pie bigger, this would no longer be enough. Our markets would disappear, and not only would we no longer sell abroad, we would no longer be able to buy it from America instead. We are not quite stable. We still have the American spirit. But having the spirit is not enough. We have to use it. If we are to maintain our leadership in the world of the future, it will not be by force alone. It will be by the strength of our spirit, backed by the vigor of our economy. If we slip as an economic power, then we will slip also as a moral force in the world. For it will thin because we cease to try, because we cease to compete, because we gave up on ourselves in the world. will not be by force of arms. It will be by the strength of our spirit, back by the vigor of our economy. If we slip as an economic power, we will slip also as a moral force in the world, or will have been because we ceased to trust, because we ceased to compete, because we gave up on ourselves and the world. I do not believe that America will give up, nor do I believe that we will try to build a wall around America. If we were ever to permit this nation to turn isolationist in foreign policy, we wouldn't be fighting another war. And if we were to let this nation turn protectionist in its economic policy, we would be inviting a trade war. And like the other kind of war, every nation on this planet would lose. We're not going to let either of these things happen. We're not about to forget the secret of the world's highest standard of living, a competitive spirit that results in rising productivity. After years of lagging productivity, we made a comeback last year, back to a 3 6/10% rise. Now we have the momentum. We must never again forget the secret of America. Too long, too many businessmen and working men thought of the American economy as a kind of a giant turtle, fat and lazy with a protective shell that seemed impregnable. Let me point out to you that nature played a trick on the turtle. The only way he can move forward is to stick out his neck. Time has come for that turtle